someone listening to this message, it is the commencement of a journey to destiny. For someone else, it is a confirmation. For yet another, it is a continuation of a journey to destiny. The word will work wonders in you and for you.
I'd like to start out tonight by saying that, like I've said over and again, that we should begin to plan our finances. We discussed the spending plan the Sunday before now. On last Sunday, Pastor started talking about starting your own business and how to increase your earning power and stuff like that. But many people don't even understand the importance of monitoring how money comes into your hand and how it flows out of your hand. I'm going to dwell on that a little tonight. But majorly tonight, I would like to speak as I'm moved by the Holy Spirit to help somebody to understand and to see what God has in mind for this time. The blessing of Abraham that we confess, that we sing, that we believe in, is about to happen to somebody. Yeah. And it's not going to happen just anyhow, or it's not going to happen, in a way that you will not be able to repeat it. It's going to happen in such a way that God is going to reveal himself to you, and you will understand the principles, the guiding principles. The guiding principles. See, wealth is not something you stumbled on. Scripture says in the book of Genesis, it says, it's the Lord our God, who gives us power. I think that's Deuteronomy 8:18. That gives us power to get wealth. Wealth is not something that you stumbled on. There is power to lay hold on wealth. When you have been able to understand how to get that power, that means you can increase your ability to get the power, and the more the power you receive, the more your ability to get or to attract wealth. Tonight I'll be speaking on what I've titled Money Magnet. And how many money magnets do we have in this house tonight? After this series, you're going to become a magnet for money. You know, there's something about a magnet. When you put a magnet anywhere, every metallic object around that place begin to find their way towards the magnet. The magnet doesn't run after metallic objects. Have you ever seen a magnet that is running towards an object? That's why the Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life as I dwell in the house of the Lord. Because every good thing of life is supposed to be following us. Following us as we attract them. The power of attraction is the one that drags things in your direction. But what is happening today is that instead of us attracting goodness, attracting wealth, many people are being attracted by wealth. Wealth has a tendency to get people's attention, but for those of us in the kingdom, we are supposed to get the attention of wealth and attract wealth to ourselves. The law of attraction says every human being is a living magnet. You attract who you are per time, not what you want. Can I say that one more time? I said the law of attraction states that every human being is a living magnet. You attract who you are per time, not what you want. So life doesn't give us what we desire. Life gives us who we are. The question, therefore, is that for you to get what you want out of life, you must become the kind of person who has the ability to attract such. And the reason why some people are not attracting exactly what they want is that there's a variation between what they want and who they are. Like my pastor would say, it's not the day that you have the first million in your account that you became a millionaire. No. It's when you become a millionaire that millions don't have a choice but to find their way into your account. Is somebody still here tonight? Because after we have heard about value, after we have heard about how to create value, how to see money, then the next thing is, how much of it do you want to attract? And I really want to dwell on a few things that determine the power of your magnet. If you imagine that this monitor here is a block of metal, the kind of magnet that will be able to literally attract this size and drag it to itself has to be a powerful magnet. Am I saying the truth tonight? And because all of us are living magnets, that means we all have the power to attract. But what determines what we attract is how powerful our magnet is. And I'm always gladdened in my heart anytime I realize that I can increase the power of my magnet. I can increase, let me tell your neighbor, say you can increase the power of your magnet. It gives hope, it gives encouragement. Because you know you're not going to be on this level forever. What I cannot attract today, I can attract tomorrow. So far, I'm on a journey of empowering my magnet. And you see, when your magnet has become empowered, people begin to ask you questions. How are you doing it? Or what are you doing? Just like Nicodemus went to Jesus and said, what can happen to me that can make me do the things that you are doing? Because he's seeing something different is happening. And very soon something different is going to begin to happen in somebody's life here. And people will begin to ask you, what are you doing? How can I join you in doing it? You see, the reason why people jump from one business to the other, after hearing a message, for instance, on how to see money, and then you've heard that, there are 15 million people in Lagos. All of them have to wear shirts. That means that's 15 million shirts, or they have to wash it. And then something tells you that if I start a dry cleaning business, I can make money from helping people to keep their shirts clean. But the question is this. If we assume that all of them spend 10 naira to wash their shirts on a weekly basis, presupposes that 150 million naira is spent on washing shirts in Lagos every week. How much of the 150 million do you want to attract to yourself? I know that's a small amount, but how much of it do you want to attract to yourself? That's the big question. Because what determines what you eventually will be able to attract as someone who has decided to see value or create value in washing or dry cleaning is still the power of your magnet. Am I talking to somebody tonight? I remember where I was discussing with Pastor Boye a few days ago. We had something that we wanted to dry clean in the office. I can't remember again. And we're saying, so I was saying, instead of dry cleaning this thing, maybe we should buy another one. I said, because when you call dry cleaners to come now, especially if you call, I mentioned maybe, I said, an outfit like Ola Clean. He said, Pastor Godman, why would we call Ola Clean? Is it not just this thing? So I said, I'm just trying to let you see that what some people will charge to dry clean it will be more than how much it costs. No, that's the truth. But the truth is not because they are overvaluing their skill. It's because of the power of attraction. Because there are some places that other small names will get to. They won't even check their proposal. They know what they are looking for. Why? Because somebody has been able to build a brand that has a power of attraction that can attract business in millions and billions. Is somebody still with me tonight? Very important. So human beings are living magnets, and we attract who we are per time, not what we want. Please join me in your Bibles in the book of Genesis. Genesis 27. I'll show us something there, and that's where I'm going to close, but I want to start from there. Genesis 27. I'll read from verse 27. How someone's magnet was empowered by the power of the spoken word was just an example. Genesis 27, let me read from verse 26. Then his father, Isaac, said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing. And he blessed him and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed." Verse 28 says, "Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let the peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you." And lastly, it says, "Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." Say better amen, somebody. Amen. There are certain things that empower someone's magnet for divine attraction. That will take your ability to attract things, especially things that are in line with your destiny, from one level to the other. So you cease to live an ordinary life, because your level of attraction or your ability to attract great things will begin to move from one level to another. I'll start out tonight by discussing the first one. The first one I would like to discuss tonight is faithfulness. Faithfulness. As simple as that word is, it will minister deliverance to somebody here tonight. Faithfulness means ability to manage resources profitably. That's what it means. It doesn't mean to come to church all the time. You know, we call some people old faithful because they've been serving God a long time. Jesus spoke about the parable of talents, we call it, in Matthew 25. The man who went away for a long time and came back. And he gave to one servant 100 denarii, 100 talents, sorry. He gave to another one 5 talents, gave to another one 1 talent. And when he came back, and the one that had 10 talents, I think he had multiplied it and added another 10 or so. Time will not permit me to go into reading everything. I'm sure we all know the parable of talents from Sunday school days. Am I saying the truth? Even though some of us didn't go to Sunday school. You understand what I'm saying? Some people don't understand. I don't want to distract you. I won't say it. some people here grew up in idol worshippers' home. Some of us from Muslim background, so we didn't go to Sunday school. That's what I was talking about. But old things have passed away, and all things have become new. But I know some people here from Sunday school days, you knew the parable of talent. Jesus said, the servant looked at that man and he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The word faithfulness there connotes the man's ability to manage resources. And the last man who got 1 talent and hid it and did not do anything with it, Jesus called him wicked. The word wicked means crooked, not straight. Somebody who cannot think right. See, what the man did, he didn't throw away his servant's money. Am I saying the truth tonight? If he had thrown away his servant's money, you would have called him truly a wicked man. Is somebody following me tonight? But you see, his inability to do anything with the resources at his disposal, despite or in spite of the preservation of that resources, Jesus did not mind. He still called him wicked. So what should we call a man today who cannot even find that which God has given him? What should we call a man who collected 20,000 naira salary and at the end of the month could not account for one kobo of it? If there's any word that is more dangerous than wicked, is somebody still with me tonight? If there's any word that's more dangerous than wicked, we should call the man. Am I still preaching here tonight? Because this man actually still had the money, but he kept it. He did not do anything with it. He was unfaithful with little, with the resources at his disposal. Anytime you demonstrate ability to manage little resources, you empower your magnet to attract more. Matthew 25. I'll read verse 29, I think. You see what Jesus said there. Can you please join me? Can we read it together? Matthew 25, 29. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who has not, even that which he has will be taken away. Does this look like what I'm talking about? I said, when you demonstrate faithfulness in that which is little, or that which is available, you empower your magnet to attract more. It's a divine law. Jesus spelt it out in black and white. To him that has not, or who is unfaithful with that which he has, who cannot multiply or reproduce or trade with, he said that which he has will be taken away from him. We gave out the spending plan on Sunday. Some people are still looking at it as if it's a picture. No, that's the truth. Because I came here tonight to speak to the heart of someone that God has destined to walk into billions, who is still struggling, and who needs to break out and get angry and sit down and work out destiny. Faithfulness, especially in little resources, brings us to a level where we empower our magnets. We signal heaven that we are ready to manage something bigger. Is somebody still with me tonight? Whenever heaven sees faithfulness, especially in the management of resources, financial, human, material, heaven opens up in that direction. So when you demonstrate the ability to manage resources efficiently and effectively, you empower your ability to attract, which is the magnet. You empower your magnet to attract more. I hope you have not forgotten the story the pastor told us, how he went for a seminar and the man of God was preaching. And he said, quoting the scripture from Proverbs 21:20 or 20:21, he says, there's much treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it all. He says, the reason why you are saying is not enough is because your wisdom pipe is blocked, and all those stories that he said. And then he said, he got back to the office and send somebody to the bank, said, get me a savings account opening form and get one for the church. That was many years ago. I was at that seminar. I think I drove him to that seminar. At Rajoba. And I knew what happened after then. See, when you sit down with this spending plan and other tools at your disposal, when you make it something that is worth your time for you to check your account statement and see the direction in which your money is going and what is coming in, and you try to regulate what you do with little, you're empowering your magnet for something greater. You will not remain small. I said you will not remain small. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Secondly, don't forget we're talking about things that empower our magnet to attract more. Knowledge. Knowledge. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The word destruction there, like we always, you know, say, is not to be destroyed literally, but to live a life of no impact, where the magnetic power has become zero. When a person does not have the capacity to attract anything at all that is called good. Anyone with a magnetic ability of zero is as good as dead. Am I saying the truth tonight? Knowledge empowers. Proverbs 22:29 says, have you seen a man that is diligent in his business? Said he will stand before kings and not mere men. I think the Living Bible Translation says, have you seen a man that is an expert in his craft? An expert. What creates expertise is knowledge and practice. Is somebody still with me tonight? Two things that create expertise. Knowledge and the ability to practice the knowledge. Knowledge and practice is what creates expertise. When you become knowledgeable in your trade, when you study to show yourself approved, like what the Bible says, it impacts directly on how much you're able to attract. What you learn is what determines what you earn. Knowledge empowers your magnet to attract money. So you become a money magnet. Especially when it's not theoretical knowledge only. When you begin to put it to practice. We have been shouting, real money, real money. Somebody here, you are a fashion designer, or you are a furniture maker, you are a medical doctor, yet you are not increasing knowledge. You are not reading any book in your field. Real money is far away. I thought somebody would say, preach it. Because knowledge empowers. Knowledge makes you to stand out. When they call people to comment in every area of life, especially on TV, on radio shows, I like to listen to them because they don't talk like ordinary men. In fact, if you are not careful, if you are not very knowledgeable in their field, you may not understand most of the things they are saying. Because they are talking from a different pedestal. The number of vocabularies of your trade that you know is what sets you apart. I remember we had a project once in the place where I live, and we brought in an engineer, and the man came. His first two or three words, we knew we had gotten the right person. That was the truth. He was talking about the satellite imagery of the entire area. You know, he brought out one piece of equipment and was talking. He started saying some things that we did not understand. And all of us were saying, yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. The other man was telling me, that's the man. Even though we didn't understand what he was saying. But we knew there was something different. You understand? The man brought out something like this. It has, I think, infrared or laser or something. And wanted to take the distance between here and entrance one. And he just did the thing like this. He said, oh, this is about 60 meters away. So if we go like this, he did it again. You see, you know, the crude people who had limited level of knowledge, they will run there, put the thing, and then begin to draw it. And all of us will be sweating together. From Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers, we understand that what it takes to become an expert is 10,000 hours of practice of anything in the world. Anything. One of the richest golfers in the world today is Tiger Woods. He's popular and he's rich. When it comes to golf, his magnet is powerful. If they have any golf competition in the world and it's not there, some people will not go. Because he's the one attracting them. It's his magnet that is attracting such people. How somebody's following me tonight. But from, I think, the age of 5 or 6, his father started training him on how to play golf, and he would practice, I think, from 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. or so before having breakfast. And the number of hours have compounded over time. So that by the time he became a teenager, he was already playing, you know, he was already an expert in his field. Knowledge with practice enhances the power. Knowledge with practice will enhance the power of your magnets. I think, was it last year or 2 years ago? My wife and I, we were on vacation in the UK. And I went to attend a program in the church. And I met this old friend that I hadn't seen in a long time. And he still recognized me. And I recognized him too. So we started talking. And then he was telling me, oh, the last time he came to Lagos, he was at our 71 Oregon Road location. And, you know, he was telling me about that service that day and stuff like that. We started discussing. Obviously, now, I was trying to size him up. This man has changed. He was telling me that I've changed. I said, no, you know how it works. We began to size up ourselves. But, you know, wisdom told me not to oversize myself. So I was trying to just play humility, you know, to be on the safer side. I said, ah, no, bros, you have gone, you know. But I didn't know how far the guy was. One thing I know about the guy is that and almost every time you meet him, he's talking about one book or the other. And most often, he will give you a book gift. Last time he was in Lagos, he gave me a book. When I met him in London that time, he gave me a book. The guy is knowledge personified. When we finished the program and we left the building, and then, you know, my friend brought me in his car. So my friend that brought me and him, we went to the car park together. So we were going to my friend's car when he pulled out his own car. It was a Range Rover Sport, brand new. The plate number was Nagod. No, you haven't heard the end of the story. If a Nigerian lives in London and is born again, is not a flashy person, and is driving a car and he puts Nagod there, it must be God. Because Igbo people cannot even call the plate number. Now, while we were talking, he started telling me about some of the things, you know, that, you know, he was doing. He's a consultant. And he consults and reorganizes companies. And most of the things that he does, they don't study them in school. But he has trained himself. As at the time we're talking about a year or 2 ago, the guy was earning £1,000 per hour. And he's not a footballer. No, that's the truth. He was earning £1,000 per hour as a consultant. He flies into the UK every weekend and during the week leaves for the Middle East. He's either in Saudi Arabia or in Kuwait. And when he lands on Monday morning, he works about 7 or 8 hours every day. That means £8,000 every day. And he takes off on Friday night. He spends his weekend in London and works in the Middle East. A young Nigerian guy. Now you understand what I'm saying. But before you say na God too much, also you must say na knowledge. I hope you understand what I'm saying. God said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. That means knowledge has the capacity to empower your magnet to attract great things. So while we were talking, my other friend, who is a pastor, said, this is my friend, he's also a minister, but he's not a full-time minister. So I was telling him, he said, Pastor, it would be good for my wife to listen to you. He said, as we speak now, my wife earns £250 per hour. She's also a consultant. But I need my wife to listen to you so that she can begin to earn the kind of money you earn. So at the end of the day, we agreed that we're going to be, the guy said, okay, let's do dinner. It's going to take us out on dinner. My wife was at home with my friend's wife. So about 2 or 3 days later, on a Sunday evening or so, we went for dinner. And the guy started talking. And I was looking at him like, something happened to this guy's magnet. This was not the guy I used to know. The kind of things he was saying, the kind of books he had read. He was telling my friend's wife, he said, where you work now as a consultant with the NHS, he said, you know their processes and procedures? He said, read books that explain it more. He said, the day you live there, this is what you carry to another place to create something that is wrong there for them or to recreate it for them. He said, what you learn where you work, coupled with the knowledge that you acquire from other books, is what makes you an expert in your field. Many people work for money. From that day, I made up my mind, I will never work for money. I will work for knowledge. Because what you learn is what determines what you earn. If you continue to work for money, you remain on the same spot. Because you will leave this place and you realize that you have not learned anything where you're coming from. They say, move this thing from here to there and we'll pay you 1,000 naira. And you moved it. You didn't ask them why you must move it. You didn't ask them why this place is better than this place. Which is the learning, the knowledge. So that when you step out of that place and you get to that place and you see this same thing is here, you can tell them, I'm a consultant, I can tell you a better place to put this thing. And then at that point, you can tell them, look, here I'm not going to earn a salary. What I want is to come in once in a while, tell you where to put these things, and you pay me. How do you shift from being somebody who is being paid regularly to somebody who is paid on contract? You shift from working for money to using your knowledge to change things. Somebody stay with me today. Because when you use your knowledge to change things, you become a mover. You're making things happen. And then the size of what you make happen, or the number of hours you spend making it happen, is what you charge for. Knowledge enhances the power of your magnet. The power of your magnet. Somebody say, I'm an attraction. Tell your neighbor again, say, I'm an attraction. So say, I attract good things. Say, I'm attracting money. Praise God. Thirdly, one other thing that empowers your magnet for a stronger pull, stronger and greater intensity of attraction. I call it many names. We can call it idea, like my pastor will call it. We can call it vision, like we call it in church. You can call it mental pictures, like they call it in the secular world. But the last thing you can call it is imagination. Imagination. There is something about the pictorial representation of what you desire that has the capacity to empower your magnets to attract it. You know, the word imagination, we call it imagination or imagine. The word imagine is imaging. Am I saying the truth? Yeah. When you imagine something, you image it. When you go into the realm of imagination, what you are doing is you are pre-playing the future that has not yet happened. And I tell people most of the time that people feel better when they pre-play the past that hurt them, that damaged them, than to spend the same emotional energy pre-playing the future, which has the capacity to be better than today. Is somebody still with me now? When you decide not to be like the people in the world who are always replaying the past that hurt them, that punctured their ego, that dealt with them, but you switch over to the covenant that has empowered our ability to imagine or to go into imaging, where we capture the picture of something that is not yet apprehended, something that you have not yet captured, and you put it before you, that has the capacity to empower your magnet. In Genesis chapter 11, when you read verse 6, can you please put it up? Genesis 11 verse 6. God looked at a set of people. He said, there is nothing that they have imagined or imaged to do that will be impossible to them. That means there's something that the ability to imagine. Is the person still in the service? That means there's something that the ability to imagine will do to you, your magnets, such that it empowers your magnet to the point that image is attracted into your life. My pastor has described it in many ways. He will say, cut a picture, put it on the wall. You know what the picture is doing to you? The more you look at it, the more it's speaking to you, the more it's empowering your magnet. The more it's empowering your magnet. We have been saying these things now for years. Some people here have never practiced. Mark my word, never. And I don't know the word to use for it. It's mind-boggling. Some of these things don't even cost us anything. I realize personally that whether I put a picture on the wall or something else, when I spend time to imagine something, it has a way of getting across to my emotion and the power that drives my life lies more in that area of emotion. When God wants to touch your life, the Spirit of God touches your emotion, which begins to soften your will. In Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, Scripture says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So let your request be made known to God. He said, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That means when you pray, the Holy Spirit moves. But the first thing it does is to touch your heart. Said the peace of God will come into your heart. Before the Holy Spirit moves things outside, it moves you first. By getting across to you in the place that matter, which is in your emotion. It's the same kind of effect that imaging does to us. Or the ability to meditate and imagine. If somebody is here, they have been refusing you visa, then begin to go without visa, maybe on a daily basis.
in your imagination.
I'm telling you the truth. If they refuse you visa, it means that your magnet is not strong enough to attract it. Continue to empower that magnet in your imagination. Before you go to bed in the night, imagine yourself in New York or wherever you want to go. Just do 10 minutes or 5 minutes of it and then go to bed. Your ability to see what I'm teaching tonight is scripture. It's not all this New Age and the self-empowerment stuff that people do. This is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. Time will not permit me to go and show more scripture, but this is what the Bible says. God cannot do anything for you that is devoid of your emotion, that your emotion is not locked onto. If you see a man that is saying marriage is nonsense, marriage is stupid, and I don't want to get married, how will marriage find itself into the heart of that person? Am I saying the truth tonight? Because even when the right person comes, the person will not see the person. Because in the person's mind, marriage is not a good thing at all. It's not even something to think about. But if you see another person who in his mind, once in a while, imagines himself or herself in a good home. Do you know how many times I pre-played my wedding day before I got married? Pre-play. After that one has registered, then I started pre-playing the family itself with my children. And these things are not tedious. Some of us have become too busy for the things that matter. And it's the same thing with money. Pastor will say, write a check. Tell your check, write a figure that you want. Stick it on the wall. Even if you don't have a checkbook, borrow one check, leave from your friend. There's no point hearing things that you will not practice. Can I be more brutal? If you don't believe those things, stop coming to this star. No, that's the truth. Because it's a waste of your time. Why should people be coming to give testimony and you will not give your own? Except you are shy. But something must be happening in your life. Am I saying the truth, somebody? I'm not saying everybody should share testimony. You may be shy, you can write down your own or something, but make sure you have your own testimony. So point. Quickly, number four. One other thing that empowers your magnet is abundance mentality. As we discuss real money, one of the things you must seek that God should do to you is for God to help you to stop thinking of not enough or not available. Is somebody still with me? If you are in an industry and people are saying there's a problem in this industry, now things are not moving and all that, change your mind about that. When men say there's casting down, we will say there's a lifting up. We must have a different mentality. The more than enough mentality. In John chapter 6, when you read from verse 6 to 7, Jesus wanted to feed the 5,000. And his disciples said that they didn't have anything with which to feed them. Philip was there. And Philip, second name is not enough. The not enough mentality has been so ingrained into his system that even in the presence of the second person of the Trinity, Philip was still saying that this thing cannot go round. Some people must just go home hungry. That was what he was saying. And Jesus looked at him. There's work here. How can somebody be walking with me? He's with me. He has seen all the miracles. And this not enough mentality is still there. Can I say something tonight? In every nation of the world that has been called poor, every nation of the world has been called poor, there are people richer than the richest people in the developed countries there. So the fact that things may not be happening around us does not mean that things are not enough. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly." God can do whatever, and he does it in big forms. He is the big-breasted one, the El Shaddai, the more than enough God. And you need to be able to understand him to be like that. If not, you will lock up yourself. And not enough mentality. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, even though it's not enough today, he said it works for us, exceeding an eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. And in verse 18, it says, "Why we look not at the things which are seen? Say, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And the word temporal there means subject to change. That means the things which are seen are subject to change. I'm speaking to somebody here tonight. Even if you don't have enough right now, that is subject to change. That is subject to change. So far, there's a picture. So far, there's an idea. So far, there's a vision. We have said often and again that vision is the key to provision. When there's a picture, when there's an image, when there's an idea that you are pursuing, then you can be sure that though your beginning be small, your latter head shall greatly increase. Say amen, somebody. Amen. So it's important. It's important that we understand that we have to be conscious of the not enough mentality. It stifles the power of your magnet. Lastly tonight, very importantly, from Genesis 27, where I started from, one thing that empowers your magnet in the way you can never imagine is divinely granted utterances. We call them prophetic blessing, or the blessing of the prophet, the blessing of the father. Isaac looked at Jacob, said, "The smell of my son is like the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed." Genesis 27:27 says, "So let people serve you." The utterance that was coming was doing something to the magnet of Jacob. Why did Jacob and his mother have to almost kill themselves to secure this utterance? This blessing can empower somebody's magnet in a way that you can never imagine. Especially when it is triggered by a seed. I must add that to it. Especially when it is triggered by a seed. You see it all over the scripture. All over. In 1 Kings, was it 1 Kings or 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, Saul went to meet Samuel. His father's asses were lost, and they were looking for them. And he said, "What shall we take to the man of God that he may show us the way?" And his servant gave him, said, "This is what we have." And they went to the man of God and they gave it. And the man of God took a jar of oil and poured it upon him. And as he began to speak, the power of the magnet that was dead, that turned a man from a rich background to somebody who is looking for goats all over the place, the magnet began to be empowered.
And he said, as you leave this place today, your magnet begins to work. So he said, as you are going down, you will meet some people. They are carrying goats. And they will give it to you. You won't ask, they will just greet you and give you. Somebody stay with me. Did you read that you will ask them? No. He said they will greet you and they will give it to you. As you depart from the mountain of God, he said they will, as you go down this mountain, as he was speaking it, something on the inside of Saul began to rearrange. The magnet started working again. The ability to attract greatness came alive. When Isaac was speaking to Jacob, provoked by the venison, Isaac said, bring me venison, such as I love, and then my soul will bless you. And as he brought the venison, with the connivance of his mother, and put it on the table. The means of getting the venison notwithstanding, because they have taught on a dangerous principle. As the man opened his mouth and he began to speak, Jacob's magnet gained a new level of empowerment. Enjoy plenty of grain and wine. Says, let the heart begin to yield its increase to you. He was speaking. For every word that Isaac spoke, it showed that something happened to the magnet of Jacob. The ability to attract something. In Philippians chapter 4 in the New Testament, Paul was talking about the Macedonian church. He said, the Philippian church, he said, when I left Macedonia and I was, he said, no church communicated with me as forgiving and receiving, but you. So in verse 19, it says, and my God shall supply your need. That means you become an attraction because of your seed. But in Nigeria, we call it Philippians 4:19. And we leave the beginning and just jump on verse 19. And my God, because of what? Is somebody still with me? Something happened before that time. It looked like many people are still doubting what I'm saying. Join me there. Let's read it. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'll read from verse 14. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Verse 15 says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid. Aid means money. Once and again for my necessity. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that are bound to your account. Verse 18 says, indeed, I have all. And abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. And in verse 19 says, and because of that, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And with that pronouncement, the Philippian church received an empowerment for their magnet, their ability to attract. That church is just like this town. Yafu Yafu Church. Telling you the truth, where God just blesses his people. The kind of church any pastor will want to pastor. God, the church that pleases God, where people understand the power of prophetic blessing. There's so far knowledge will take you and all the things that I've taught, but there's something about the blessing when it comes from someone who is empowered to bless. It does wonder in the way it interfaces with your magnet. To turn it around and to empower it to do great things. Many people are still struggling today, not understanding the power in divinely granted utterance and how it rearranges people's destiny. Anytime it looks like things are slow, or I'm feeling somehow, or things are not happening, I stand in front of my pastor, put a seed in his hand, and say, pronounce a blessing. Pronounce a blessing. Pronounce a blessing. Because the word of his servants, they don't fall to the ground. Say, believe his prophets, you will prosper. That's what the Bible says. That means the prosperity of the people is tied to the divinely granted utterance of the man that has the blessing. The man that has the authority to bless. Somebody still here with me today? I need you to understand this today. That God, in this season, where we're teaching real money, wants to take your financial prosperity to the next level. God wants to empower your magnets. Don't take lightly the things that I've said this evening. Therein lies your divine prosperity. Therein lies your divine prosperity. Thank you, everlasting Father. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands and begin to bless him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak a blessing over your people tonight. And I declare, oh God, every form of stagnation, especially financially, comes to an end tonight in the name of Jesus. I decree over everyone who has been a partaker of this service, your magnet receives an empowerment tonight. Receive divine ability to attract new things in the name of Jesus. Receive divine ability to attract new experiences in the name of Jesus. I release upon you the grace to prepare your future. The grace to engage pictures that are in line with your destiny. In the name of Jesus, I decree over you tonight, receive speed for your destiny. In the precious name of Jesus. I break the hold of the devil over somebody's mind here tonight. Every form of unbelief because of past experiences, every effect of failure on your ability to attract new things, I destroy such effect tonight in the name of Jesus. And the hold of failure is broken over your destiny. In the name of Jesus. Someone is here tonight. Your mind is still locked on the failures of the past. Something around you that has not been working, that has engaged your mind to the point that you are beginning to accept that maybe this thing may never work. I speak into your destiny tonight. I break the hold of that recurrent failure. In the name of Jesus, as the one that has authority to bless, I decree that the hold of that recurrent failure is broken. In the name of Jesus, enjoy of the dew of heaven, supernatural increase, abundance mentality. You will no longer think small. In the name of Jesus, every encounter with pictures, with experiences that will empower your magnet, I decree as you step out of this place today, begin to get such encounters. Every book, every image, every message that God has packaged for your destiny to enhance the power of your magnet, from now, those things begin to run after you. In the name of Jesus, before the end of this week, somebody will give you a book. That book will bring a turnaround into your life. It will empower your magnet in a new way. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. Before I pray over the communion table tonight, I just want to give someone an opportunity to give your life to Christ or rededicate your life to Christ before you partake of this table tonight. The only way you can truly experience the power that is available with the communion tonight is for you to ask God to forgive you your sin and to ask Him to come into your heart and to give your heart to Him afresh. And if you want to say that prayer with me, I want us all to bow down our heads tonight in one moment. And let's give this opportunity to as many who will be willing to say, "Jesus, forgive me my sins," so that I can partake of your power that is available on this table tonight. I want you to just stand wherever you may be. Just stand. Just beside your chair there, just stand. Just stand. And I'm going to pray for you. Thank you for standing. Just stand wherever you may be. Just stand. Just stand. Just stand. Be bold to stand tonight. It's a matter of destiny. God wants to release His power over you so that He can take all struggles away from your life. And you will never be the same again. You'll never be the same again. Just stand wherever you may be. Just stand. Just stand. Just stand. Join the people standing and just stand. Just stand. If you're standing, I want you to just say this after me. In 1 minute, let's pray together if you're standing. Just say this after me. Say, "Lord Jesus, I ask that you forgive me my sins. Accept me into your kingdom. In the precious name of Jesus. Say, I repent of my sins. I accept into my life as my Lord and my personal Savior. Come into my heart from tonight. Give me power over sin. In the precious name of Jesus." Can I pray for you one moment? Father, thank you for everyone standing and saying this prayer with me tonight. I decree, as the one that has authority over the powers of hell and death, that the hold of sin is broken over their lives. In the name of Jesus, I decree that they are set free to serve you and to enjoy the power that is available by your Spirit. In the precious name of Jesus. As they partake of this table tonight, the blood of Jesus washes away their sins. The flesh that was broken for us releases power over their lives to attract greatness and to attract good things. In the precious name of Jesus. I decree that every struggle over your life, every contention over your life, ceases from tonight. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name. Please take your seat gently. I want us to appreciate Jesus for that wonderful...
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. For additional information, call 01793-7415 or 01815-1435 or email us at contactus@dashng.org.
Join us for any of our four services at 7 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. at Plot A3C, Ikosi Road, Oregon, Lagos, Nigeria. You could also visit our website at www.daystarng.org.
Or watch the church service at www.daystarng.tv. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed.